This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neesian Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Kia ora and welcome everyone to Neesian Footy, the number one place to get your Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name's Tinidar Arona, and my co-host Sammy Wykes is still living it up in Japan, so in Grand Final week, it's good to have a Grand Final winner. Again, we have the one, the only, Will Hopoate.
Malolele T, thanks for having me on. Massive week this week with Grand Finals, both in the NRL and NRLW. Today we're going to run through the preliminary finals in the men's. Kiana Takairangi is going to join us as well to talk through the NRLW prelims and the grand final. And speaking of the NRLW, we've got someone joining us who's playing in that NRLW grand final, for the Roosters, my younger sister, Kalosi Pani.
Wow, what a get. How hard was it to get her on the show?
She's a good younger sister, so when I asked, she said yes. So
only a few weeks ago, we had the younger brother, Lehi. Now we've got Pani. She's played a number of games already, and she's only 20 years old. How proud of you as an older brother to see her play the grand final this weekend.
It's a special occasion for our family, especially for Bunny. I was just chatting with her last night about seeing how she was feeling, and she's quite nervous, excited, a bit of mixed emotions for this coming week. And so, yeah, I've just encouraged her to make it as normal as possible, and it should be good.
Well, speaking of grand final weeks, you've been in one yourself. What comes, the emotions, the feelings players are going through? Can you give us a quick rundown before we rip into the show?
It can be easy to get caught up in all the hype because all the, footy shows and the radios are all dedicated to that game, the one game. There's, a lot of media at training more than normal. And so I think the challenge for the players and the club is to make it, though it's not going to be a normal week, to make it as normal as possible.
Yeah, good advice. So if you're listening, all NRL and NRLW teams, there's some advice from our great man, Will Hopoate. Let's get to Moment of the Week.
Moment of the Week.
Well, Will, last week I spoke about the RLPA Dream Team, which was voted by the players themselves. This time round, we have the NRL have just released the Daily M nominees for the Team of the Year. It's a prestigious team to be a part of, but there are a number of Neesian footy players that are up for nominees. We've got the list here. Which two names stand out for you?
I think for me, one that's been a teammate is Adam Fanua-Blake. I think the way he's led from the front with the Warriors, he always leads by actions. He's a man of small words and plenty of actions, and he's shown that week in, week out with the Warriors. And I think as well, he's been spoken about all year, Stephen Crichton. His leadership, his experience in playing big games, bringing that over from Penrith to Canterbury, led them to a finals appearance, in a long time. And so I think he definitely deserves a nomination for Centre of the Year.
Yeah, Stephen Crichton's also up for a nominee for Captain of the Year, which I think is a really strong chance of getting that award. And if he doesn't, I think he's the Samoan Pacific Nations captain in all in our eyes. So I know he's had a great season leading the Bulldogs, especially from where they've been the recent years and how well they've played. You also mentioned Fanua-Blake. Well, he's up against Moses Leota and also James Fisher-Harris for the props. A couple of names that stand out for me, Ali Katoa at second row.
It's a good one.
We had him a couple of weeks ago. Oh, we had him last week on Neesian Footy. And if you want to hear that episode, get that wherever you hear your podcast. But Ali Katoa, he was in the RLPA Dream Team. And the other one was Kael Iro at Rookie of the Year. Mm. Man, I know he's had a huge year and, they just missed out on making the grand final. But a kid from the Cook Islands inspiring the rest of the Cook Island community. I know he's a proud Cook Islander, and his dad and uncle, the Iro family will be very proud of him. Oh, so good. All the best to all our Neesian players who are nominees in the Daily M Team of the Year.
Hey guys, it's AB Coates here. You guys are listening to Nesian Footy.
Yes, so footy results and news. We had the preliminary finals over the weekend and these two massive games. And I know we'd done a preview last week, Will, and I felt like when I was watching, I was like, hey, they weren't listening to us. But let's kick it off. The first one, Melbourne Storm versus the Roosters. Yeah, off the very first tackle, the kickoff, Samoan Nelson Asofa Solomona, he tackles the Roosters prop high. Unfortunately, he gets sent off for 10. But on the back of that momentum that the Roosters built from the ill discipline from the Storm, Roosters ended up scoring first points and drawing first blood. And this one was a nice tunnel ball to Joseph Suoli'i. And then he finishes off by passing to Daniel Dubol to score a try. Now, that was for the first half. That was probably the only positive thing that happened for the Roosters, because the Storm, they turned things around real quick. And yeah, they all just stepped up, especially their spine. Jerome Hughes scored a double in the first half. But there was a special play where Papua New Guinea star Xavier Coates, just a smart play where the ball goes up in the air. He puts one foot on the try line, catches the ball on the full. So therefore, he gets a 20-meter tap, runs to the 20-meter line, taps the ball, finds Ryan Papenhuyzen, and then they end up going down 80 meters on that one play where Jack Howarth scores a try.
23 out from the Melbourne line. Last tackle, Roosters. Melbourne leading 12-6. Half an hour gone. Here's the kick on the last by Sandon Smith. It's into the in-goal area. No, it's perfectly placed. Oh, no, he had a foot in goal. That was really well done by Xavier Coates. 20-meter tap. Seven tackles set. Coates goes to Papenhuyzen. Look out. Here comes Young. Pass away. Howard over the 30. Young misses him. Howard stumbles but scores.
What do you think about this game, Will?
Yeah, well, great awareness in that try from Xavier Coates to, you know, have the awareness to put his foot on the line to get that seven tackle set. But as you mentioned, I thought the spine was outstanding, particularly Jerome Hughes. He obviously scored a hat-trick, but the way he, you know, led the directed the team around the park, his kicking game, and you look at the spine, they all scored, I think, or they nearly all scored. Papenhuyzen scored, Jerome Hughes scored, Munster scored a double, and obviously Harry Grant was setting them up. And so if your spine is heavily involved in the points that you're scoring, then you're a good chance of winning the game, and they obviously done that. And so, I thought they all played well. And special mention to Harry Grant.
Yep.
Just the way that he plays, the one percenters. I was watching him and noticing how he's involved in so many one percenters.
Yeah.
Kick pressures, cover tackles, and obviously he's passing, you know, 10, 20 meters both ways on the money.
Very underestimated, especially the work that he does do. It goes unnoticed, and, you know, leading the line speed, but also being dummy half, you have to make sure that your pass is on the money. And when you have to pass 10, 15, 20 meters and land those passes in the hands of the receivers
every time too,
and you're under fatigue and you've made, you know, 30, 40 tackles, mate, he is a special player. I also want to give a shout out to, same again, Tongan Alikatoa. You know, I thought just in this game, he'd done things that your usual fans just wouldn't notice. You know, putting pressure in defense from the inside. You know, that pressure, early pressure, it forces the attackers to play early, which gives the defensive line time to read the play. And he'd done that, you know, throughout the whole 80 minutes. And there was also a couple times when he was going up to put pressure, he ended up forcing errors by making the tackle and hitting the arms of those attackers. So, and also again, kick chase, kick pressure, he was just everywhere. So I want to give, you know, hats off to Alikatoa for the performance he had, because I thought, you know, he played his part as well. There's also a couple of Nesian players that will be departing from the game of rugby league, and Sammy will be licking his lips and smiling at this one, because finally a couple stars, our rugby league stars, are heading over to rugby union. And you know, these two names, Joseph Manu and Joseph Suoli'i, they're going to be huge losses to rugby league. But I know one day, well, I'm hoping one day they return after they have their stint in union. What are your thoughts on the boys and their departure?
Obviously, huge loss for rugby league, but a huge gain for rugby union. They're both X-factor players. They're not just, you know, average rugby league players. They have that X factor. They got speed. They got power. They can create something out of nothing. And they got the ability to open a game up. And so, exciting times for rugby union ahead. Especially, you know, hope Swali'i helps the Wallabies come back up a little bit more and getting some wins.
Well, it's not going to be an easy game for the Melbourne Storm because they will be taking on the Penrith Panthers. Now, the Penrith Panthers had to play the Cronulla Sharks. The winner goes into the GF. And I thought, well, I think everyone thought that Cronulla had no chance of winning this game. But I thought in this first quarter of the game, geez, they were going at it. Both teams, the arm wrestle, back and forward. They were both trying to build pressure. There was even some push and shoves between the players. But then, when you have a player like Nathan Cleary that just understands the game, knows when he needs to inject himself and change the momentum, it was 20 minutes into the game, just over 20 minutes. He gets the ball, notices the Sharks winger hasn't dropped back. On tackle three, kicks a 40-20. All of a sudden, Panthers are now attacking the Sharks try line. He then gets the ball out the back of a double lead, and then he throws a cutout ball. He throws a cutout ball to Paul Alamotti to score a try, and it just changed the whole momentum of this game.
Goes right to Cleary, kicks midway through the tackle count, looking for a 40-20, it skids over the western touchline, beyond the Gus Paul and Orange Dudar out there, the marker, and the flag goes up, 18 out from the Sharks line. Kenny goes back on the inside, Liotta, and Liotta got past Brayley, but put to the ground by Kafusi, 3 metres out. Kenny spins it left for Penrith. Cleary. Lovely ball to Alamotti. He put it on his chest. Alamotti burst through the hole. But that pass from Nathan was just beautiful. Try to Alamotti. First try of the game to Penrith.
So at halftime, the Panthers lead 10-2. Now, in the second half, it looked like Sunia Turuva, the Fijian winger, had scored a try for the Panthers. But unfortunately, the bunker interfered, and you know Sio Sifuatalakai, he gets obstructed on the camera view. Said the attacker or the decoy runner ran at the outside shoulder. You know there could be an argument there, but anyways, Sunia Turuva tried, didn't happen. 2 minutes later, they flip over. The Sharks are now attacking the Panthers line, and then Sione Katoa, the Tongan fisherman. He scores an unbelievable try to keep the hunt, you know, or the chase for the Sharks. He dives, one of those wingers when they dive in the air, the body's outside of the field. He plants the ball down in the corner and finishes a great try. But from there, again, Nathan Cleary just steps up, owns the game. Crossfield kick to Bizza, scores a try, makes a break, sets up Jerome Luai, quick play of the ball, boom, cutout ball, double cutout ball to Paul Alamotti, scores another try, and then it's like, okay, come off, you have a rest, Nath. We need you for next week. And then Jerome Luai puts in a little grubber for Liam Martin to finish off the Sharks, and the Panthers will now head into their fifth grand final in a row, chasing their fourth ring in a row. Jeez, what an achievement. But your thoughts?
Honestly, how good is Cleary? You know, off the back of Jerome Hughes the night before coming up with a masterclass, and he, you know, himself puts on a masterclass. Shout out to the back three, actually, for the Penrith Panthers. I think a big point of difference for them is that they all ran over 200 metres.
Yeah.
Dylan Edwards, you know, Fijian, Sunia Turuva, and the superstar Moan Brian Tall, all over 200 metres. And in big games, especially when you're going set for set, your back three, back five play a big part in helping your team get started in their sets. Again, their spine was outstanding, as you mentioned. Edwards, Luai, Cleary, and Mitch Kenny.
Mitch Kenny, exactly like Harry Grant, goes unnoticed, but when you watch him in defense, he's that first defender that would run back, get in the D line, and he sprints.
Yeah.
You know, their first,
even if he's last man back.
Last man, he gets up and sprints and leads the defensive line. Same again, like Harry Grant, just goes unnoticed. You mentioned Brian To'o. He had 22 runs for 236 meters, and he made 9 tackle breaks. I think a big stat, lastly, just a big stat when it comes to the Panthers v Sharks. The Panthers had 19 missed tackles. The Sharkies, 49 missed tackles. So that's off the back of building a lot of pressure.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, those boys, hard to tackle. You mentioned the back three, but geez, what a showdown. I know on Friday we'll touch on a bit of a preview on the Penrith Panthers versus the Melbourne Storm. And we're going to see the spine that we spoke, both spines that we spoke about going at each other. But just quickly, what are your thoughts on this upcoming grand final?
Well, it's no coincidence that these two are in the grand final. I think everyone kind of expected it. The spine is tit for tat. You know, they're the same, same X factor, same experience. And I think, for me, I think the difference is the outside backs and the tough carries. I think Penrith just have a little bit more of an edge in that department in terms of starting the sets off. Obviously, I think Brian Tott was the best at it in the competition. And I think just because of that, getting their set started, that might be the difference in the long run. And, you know, off the back of Cleary and his expertise, I think Penrith are going to do a four in a row.
Well, you heard it here from a man who's won an NRL premiership himself. And you can hear the NRL and NRLW grand final live on ABC Radio Australia and see if Will is correct about his predictions over the Panthers. Let's head over to Kiana Takarangi, who will be covering the upcoming NRLW finals.
Hello guys, it's Cassie Staples here from the Cronulla Sharks team, and you're listening to Nation Footy.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
Nope, with Kiana Takarangi, NRLW player with the Roosters, Knights, and most recently the Sharks, and my Cook Island Moana representative. Kiana, welcome back to Nation Footy.
Thanks, T. Thanks for having me back.
Shelley Long is still injured with her ACL injury, so if you're listening, Shelley, we send our love. Thank you for covering today, Kiana. Now let's go through the prelims that were held over the weekend. You know, four teams played for a spot into the grand final, and I believe you were on the sideline for one of them. Can you talk us through that game?
Yeah, I was. So I was out at SFS yesterday for the Roosters versus the Knights, which was a pretty one-sided game, to be honest. The Roosters came away with a fairly comfortable win there against the Knights, who I just felt struggled the whole game. They never really looked very threatening, but the Roosters, on the other hand, were just in total control. They had a great game. They had some really big inclusions, including Taryn Aiken and Jess Surges come back into the team, so they were massive for the girls. But yeah, I was really impressed by some of the Poly girls in Otessa Pule and Pani Hopuati. Your sis is it, Will?
Yep.
She had a great game, and I just, yeah, they were too strong. And yeah, Newcastle didn't have much, so it was a really dominant performance there by the Roosters.
And why do you think the Roosters were dominant? Was there any particular aspect of their style of play that stood out to you?
Yeah, I just thought that their middle were doing a really good job at you know, taking the ball forward, and then they allowed their backs to play off the back of that. So Taryn Aiken, she's a weapon. I really rate her as a player. I thought that she had an outstanding game. I thought Sammy Bremner at the back there as well was very good. They just looked dangerous pretty much any time they had the ball. Sammy Bremner came up with two tries, was close to three that afternoon. But, yes, Jess Surges and Isabel Kelly as well in the centres there. Jess came back. She had an MCL injury earlier this season, so it's missed a lot of games, but came back and she came on off the bench yesterday. And, you know, she's an outstanding centre, and Isabel Kelly as well. So they've just got a lot of strike throughout their whole team. And, yeah, they'll be confident up that win going into the grand final.
I'm glad you mentioned Pani Hopuade's name, because she'll be joining us here shortly on Nation Footy, and we'll be able to dive deep into how she's feeling about the upcoming grand final and, you know, representing Tonga. So it should be a great chat. Now on to the other game, where the Cronulla Sharks played the Brisbane Broncos. I don't think anyone seen this one coming. The Sharks keeping the Broncos scoreless for the first time ever. What were your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, it was massive. I think Sulla was the only one who saw this upset
yes.
come. And she, she made the right call, because the Sharks were great. They played some really good footy. They started the season so strong. You know, they had six wins to start the season, but they went into the semi on the back of three straight losses. So, you know, they were probably up for a really good game, and they definitely delivered that yesterday. I thought that the left edge of the Sharks were outstanding, and they played some really good footy all year. But Tiana Penetani, she's been unreal, and I think she's just a really inspirational captain. All of her carries are so strong. She's so aggressive, and you know, exactly the same in defence. So really good to see her get over the line there for a try. She's scored a few throughout the season, but a really good and an important one yesterday. She got a nice offload as well from her second row, Tale Holmes, who's a Fijian international. She's been playing some good footy all year as well. And, yeah, I just like that left edge. Cassie Staples, Fijian girl, Tiana Penetani, the Tongan, and Tale Holmes as well. It's a good combo on that left edge.
Being an ex-Sharkies player yourself, what's your emotions and, you know, not playing in these games? You know, is it a positive mindset, or is it like a bit salty going, damn, I wish I was there playing? Because I get those feelings. I get jealous as hell when I watch, you know, ex-teams of mine, you know, doing so well. I'm happy for the boys, but I just wish that I was there.
100%. Yeah, it's a bit of both for sure, T. But I'm happy for them because, you know, obviously a lot of people weren't backing them yesterday to come away with a win, but now they're heading into a grand final. So I'll be cheering them next weekend. There's a lot of my good friends in that team. So I've got to put that saltiness aside for a little bit and just back the girls because, yeah, it's a big week and it's a big occasion for them.
And so taking away all the emotions, all the love for the Sharks, it comes down to Roosters v Sharks. Who are you tipping and why?
I would love to see an upset. I reckon Roosters are definitely the favourites going in. I'd love to see an upset and see the Sharks get a win, but this is kind of a half-half tip. This might be too strong. I think both teams are quite similar. They got a lot of, you know, attacking weapons on both sides, but I almost feel like the middle of the Roosters might be too strong. But that was probably not a very good answer because I'm kind of leaning a bit both ways. But
so yeah. Is it Roosters or is it Sharks?
It is. I reckon Roosters.
The one thing I noticed about the Sharks on the weekend is that their defense was unreal. You know, they had to stop players like Mele Hufanga and, you know, Neta Nuisala, you know, also Tasman Rapana. So those are some solid bodies that they had to try and stop. And I think it doesn't get any easier because you're right, Roosters are going to be tough, you know, especially in the middle pack with your sister Will as well. But yeah, it's going to be a huge game, and I think whoever wins that momentum, that defensive battle, should go on and win the game. So I'm going to tip the Roosters.
And so, Ken, I wanted to ask you, with the two new teams coming in next season in the NRLW, how do you think they're going to impact the season?
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting. I think both new teams in the Bulldogs and the Warriors, with the signings that they've already announced, they're both shaping up to be, you know, good, strong, competitive teams. You know, the Bulldogs have got some really good signings in the middle. Alexis Tolnea and Angelina Tekaranga Katoa, who I mentioned last week, were both coming over from the Dragons. They're massive and they've had big seasons this year. So, you know, the Bulldogs are looking quite strong. They've also got some good halves there in Taylor Preston and Ash Quinlan, who are locked in there. So they're looking quite good. And then the Warriors are the same. They've recruited Ron Griffiths. He's the coach. So that's a massive signing in itself, just having him as a coach. He's won those two premierships up at Newcastle the past 2 years. So the girls are in great hands there, but they're also shaping up to have, you know, some good signings there. There's a lot of the Kiwi girls who are going back home, you know, and I think having Uppy Nichols, the Cook Islander at the back there, signed on as fullback, I think she will be massive for them. So I think it's good. There's going to be a bit more movement throughout the team.
Yeah, you're right. And I love that the extra two teams, you know, make more available spots for our NRLW stars and, you know, creates them pathways for the younger women as well. So looking forward to how that plays out all next year, but all eyes on this weekend's grand final. Yeah, looking forward to that battle. Now, moving towards the Pacific Championships that are held in only a few weeks, any updates on your end? How's training going? You know, you mentioned last week having to prepare training in different areas that are representing the Cook Islands or your team. you know, any updates on that process?
Yeah, so I was trying to tee up the first run together for the New South Wales girls on the weekend just gone, but T, I'm sure you know there was an Aussie Cooks Tri Series up on the Gold Coast held over the weekend, and a few of our girls actually went up to play in that competition. So I still did some training alongside a couple of the boys, Brad, my brother, and Ruben, and, you know, training beside them has been good. I tried to challenge him to a Bronco, see who could run the best Bronco. But
did he do it?
Yep. So I was... I tried to cancel the bet halfway through.
Brad's fitter now than what he was when he was playing NRL. He ran a 505 Bronco.
Really?
I'm like, you never ran that when you were playing NRL. And then he just says, oh, guilty. And Ruben Porter. Did Ruben Porter run under 5 minutes?
So Ruben was 503 and Brad was, I think it was 510.
Oh, 510. Tell him not to post 505 next time. And then your time was?
Mine was 5:35, so I was a bit off, but
oh, that's all right. That's pretty solid.
Yeah, that's not good for women. Yeah,
I do that backwards.
No, Kat, I wanted to ask you with the Cook Islands in the women's space. What are other challenges you face as a Pacific team in the rugby league world?
Yeah, I think probably like T mentioned, our girls are all over the shop. There's not a lot of girls back in the island themselves that are playing in the national team. I think we've only got two girls who are named in the squad at the moment.
Yeah.
The girls are kind of spread across Australia and Auckland. So that's the biggest challenge for us at the moment is just, you know, it's impossible to build chemistry when you're not together. We'll have 1 week together before our game against Fiji and, you know, it's really hard to build connection within, what, 3 or 4 training sessions if that's all we kind of get. So, yeah, just trying to tee up a couple of sessions to get the girls trying to gel a little bit and just, you know, build some connection in the few weeks we have leading up. You know, it's pretty challenging.
So you're playing Fiji in Fiji only in a few weeks, and I'll let you in on a little secret. Your boy over here has found a flight, so I'll be seeing you in Fiji, Suva. But have you had any thoughts on... you know, who you're going to be targeting, what the Fijian girls team looks like as well?
Yeah, I ran into Cassie Staples just during the week and I was trying to get a little insight out of her. But she was saying there was probably, I think last year they had a few more local girls within the team, but she thinks this year there'll be a few more, you know, from the NRLW level, which isn't ideal for me and my Cookies girls. But yeah, it's hard to say. We won't know really until that get the teams are named properly. But they had a game last year, which is good. We'll be able to watch back that game. I think they played Samoa last year, so that will give us a bit of an idea of what we're working with. But for us, we're probably just going to have to focus on ourselves more so because we don't have a lot of time together. So that will be our priority.
And just quickly before we leave, I know you mentioned the Cook Island games that were held in Gold Coast over the weekend. Now, that was like a tri-series. So New South Wales-based Cook Island players, they played the Gold Coast-based players and then the Cook Islands locals, they sent a team over. Oh, okay. So it was a tri-series between both men's and women's had them tri-series. And
you won.
The Sydney women's team won the tri-series. But the Gold Coast men's won the men's tri-series, so they beat Sydney and the locals. And guess who decided to put the boots back on and represent the Gold Coast Titans for the Cook Islands? A Cook Island legend, and I messaged him on Instagram when I seen he was at the games, and I said, there's no way you're playing. He goes, yes, I'm playing. And then I seen him carrying a photo of the shield. It was Alex Glenn from the Brisbane.
Oh,
Broncos.
No way. Yeah. Oh, well, he's still looking fit as today.
Yeah, he owns a gym, man.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You'd hope he'd look fit because he owns a gym. But big shout out to that competition and all the winners and everyone who played a role and played the games over the weekend. So, all right, Kiana, thank you for today again. I appreciate you.
No worries, boys. Thanks so much for having me.
This is Nation Footy.
Well, Will, we have another family member of yours I feel like we're just going through the list and we're going to save your dad for last. But jumping on Nijin footy, at the age of 20 years old, she's already represented the Mate Matonga, and after debuting in the NRLW in 2022, she's played 23 games for the Roosters and will line up in her first grand final this weekend against the Sharks. Welcome to Nijin footy. Thank you for joining us, Spunny.
Thanks for having me on.
First up, how excited are you to, you know, play in your first NRLW grand final this weekend?
Well, it is exciting, obviously, like through all of preseason and training, this is like the one game you work for. So, I'm just so excited to like enter the tank this Sunday and hopefully come out with the win.
Is your approach going to be different this week, Bunny, to previous weeks because it's grand final, or what's your approach looking like this week?
Probably, yeah, just focusing on the game. I took off work. Let's hope I don't have to sleep on the couch tonight for my game like semis. Maybe this time I'll actually get a bed. But, prep is good. Probably just get, like, all my recovery in, just fine-tuning all the little things I need to work on to come out on top.
So for those listening about the little couch joke, my grandma's over, and when she visits, she takes Bunny's room, and so Bunny was sleeping on my couch for her preliminary final. It seemed like it works, so you might have to do it again.
Yeah, might have to wake up with a sore back to win a game.
Did you say that you had to take the week off work?
Yeah, I took the week off work just so I can have fresh legs and be fully focused for the finals.
Well, at the start of the show, I asked Will about the grand final and, what players should expect. And one tip that he gave to all the players listening was, try and keep the week as normal as possible. And you've just gone and taken the whole week off.
Yeah. It worked last week.
I'm hoping it works for grand final.
That's good, Buns. And with your team, the Roosters, you've obviously had a lot of injuries this year. Are you impressed with how much resilience the squad has shown this season?
Yeah, well, in preseason, on our induction day, we did a heavy focus on playing for each other and kind of finding that connection. So when we do hit the field running round one, we are all fighting for each other, all like bouncing back. So all the injuries that fell through in preseason, they weren't fighting back just for themselves. They were fighting back for the team, for the club, for the Roosters. So yeah, like all of them have bounced back, and having just and Tarrant Aiken and come back in the semis, it was just awesome to have the girls all together again.
One thing, at the start of every NRLW season, I feel like the Roosters are always the favourites, them and the Broncos. And, you're minor premiers in 2022, but then you missed out on the grand final. Same as last year, missed out on the grand final. How much has this motivated you girls to be successful, make this grand final and hopefully go one more and win the premiership?
Yeah, well, obviously falling short the last two seasons and losing in semifinals last night playing the game, you could just tell all the girls were really fighting for each other on that field, because we all know that feeling, especially playing a home game. Like you don't want to come with a loss at home. So everyone was just turning it up a notch and fighting for each other out there.
The last time the club won was in 2021. You were in the squad. Talk us through what that experience was like.
Yeah, so that was my first time in the NRLW squad. And we played up in Redcliffe against Dragons the 2021 season at the beginning of 2022. After the full-time bell went and we won, big celebration. It was so cool for me at a young age to experience all of this as a rookie and see how much the girls have worked for each other, what we can really accomplish if we put our minds to it. So having that experience at such a young age, helped me fight even more to get where I am this weekend.
Yeah, beautiful. I'm going to shift a little bit because I've been wanting to ask you this, and I'll probably ask all your other siblings. What was it like for you growing up in the Hopoate house?
Very chaotic. Obviously, we're boys dominant in our family. So dad always treated us girls like one of the boys anyways, regardless. And growing up playing footy, dad was my coach. So I didn't really have a say in anything. He just treated me like one of his sons.
And we had Lehigh on a couple of weeks ago, and obviously you're still at home with Lehigh. And he always likes to talk it up now that he's playing a bit of first grade. Let me ask you, Bunny, do you still have it over Lehigh?
Oh, 100%. I will take him down easy. One arm. That guy, he needs to be humbled, and he will be humbled by me, that's for sure.
Hey, growing up in such a strong rugby league family, you know, your father played at the highest level and also your brother, brothers. What was that like as a young girl growing up in rugby league? Did you feel like you had that expectation and the pathway or your future was already predicted and you was always going to play in the NRLW grand final?
Yeah, well, obviously the girls league not being as strong as it was me growing up, rugby league wasn't really in my career pathway. I didn't think of it like that until, you know, I started playing with my brother. Once again, didn't think I was going to be where I am today, but you know, the last name has pretty much carried me. And it, yeah, I feel like it just runs in our genes. It's in our blood to play this sport.
And out of all your family members, which one do you think has had the most influence on your rugby league career so far?
Definitely Will. Just the way he was on and off the field kind of like helped shape the person and athlete I am today.
Well, that's nice. Will's over here with a big smile on his face. Yeah. Can you share any of that gold or advice that Will's passed on to you that's impacted you and made you the player you are today?
Obviously, Will's point of view was like always put God and family first, and then like everything will kind of fall into place. So I feel like that has played a big role in where I am and what I've accomplished today.
Thank you, Bunny. I'll give you your $20 after this. and speaking of family, the great surgeon himself, John Hopuari, what experiences or stories do you have of him growing up with in regards to you and footy?
You know, one thing I'll know about Dad is he whistles at me. Like, I could be in a packed stadium, and if I hear his whistle, I'm just like, yep. Done something. My I'm ball. Just like, why are you whistling to me like I'm a dog? Like, I'm your daughter. I don't know.
Can you, what kind of whistle is it? Is it that's a toggle one. Yeah.
It's the one like, oh, shucks, this car ride home is going to be a long one.
What about, is there any stories of you when you're a junior playing? You know, Lehigh shared that. Yeah, he could feel his father's eyes at the back of his head. Did you feel like you had that pressure, or you could feel his presence whenever you played the game of rugby league?
Well, actually, when me and Lehigh were playing together, I was always the favorite one just because I was better than him at that time. So Dad was always like putting all the pressure on me, like, Bunny, just run the ball. Bunny, just do this. Bunny, do that. And Lehigh was just like kind of in the shadow in the background. But I guess now Lehigh has his own spotlight and his own name, so that's good.
Before we move on to you representing Tonga, is there another hopo out there to look out for in the near future? You know, you're one of 11. I just feel like every year there's a new one coming in.
Oh, there's still two of my little brothers rolling through, so maybe if they, you know, keep putting in the work, they will find their way through the system.
How long did you play against boys, and what was that like as a girl playing rugby league?
I played 2 years. So I started playing rugby league when I was 10 years old in the boys team. All the boys always told me, like, they didn't really expect me to be, like, as dominant just because, like, I was a girl. Probably because I was too big for my age at that point. But, you know, it was good. Like, it was rough. It was, like, heavy contact. That's what I loved. Yeah.
Do you reckon the boys ran a little bit softer knowing that you had older brothers like Will and also your dad, the general, on the sideline watching you play?
Oh, I wouldn't have a clue. I was just so focused on, like, doing me on the field. So, yeah.
I will say, in some of the games I go watch them when they were kids, Bunny would run an absolute muck amongst the boys, which was funny because her and Lehigh, fun fact, are only 10 months apart.
Oh, yeah.
Her and Lehigh. And
same year?
No, different years. She's March and Lehigh is in January the following year, so they're 10 months apart. You're good, Dad. And so she's got obviously got more size, and Lehigh is like a stick. And so Bunny took all the meat and the juice and the power and left nothing for Lehigh. But Bunny, shifting a little bit now to Tonga, one of my proudest moments as a footy player was having the opportunity to wear the red jersey and represent Tonga. What does it mean to you to play for Tonga?
It means everything. Like, obviously, playing for your country is possibly like an ultimate goal as well. Like, yeah, you can play for your state or your local team, but I feel like putting on that red jersey just means a lot. It just shows how much you care for your country and your family, and like what your family has been through to like bring us here to Australia to have the life we have. So yeah, going back and putting on that jersey means a lot.
Was there any one moment that hit you, you know, going, damn, like that sense of pride and who you represent, that connection to your country? Was there that one moment for you during camp or, you know, before the games?
Yeah, it all hit me when we're out on the field singing our hymn, and like you could just because the boys were playing after us, so the stadium was like packed with like all the Tongan fans, and like it all hit me then, and I was like getting pumped for the game. Next thing we know, we actually got pumped by the Kiwis, so we got pumped in some sort of way.
And tell us more about that experience, Bunny. So that was the first time you represented Tonga in that test match. What was that whole experience like from camp to the game, during the game, after the game? What was that experience like for you?
Well, that was like pretty much my first time up against the big names, because I played this match before I even made my NRLW debut. So it really like tested me mentally and physically, that match, but it was awesome to get that under my belt. Yeah.
And we've got the upcoming Pacific Championships that are only a few weeks away, actually. Are you looking to rep the red jersey and, you know, represent Mate Matonga again?
Yeah, I'm hoping for that. Obviously, I'm trying to get my job done with the Roosters first, and then hopefully, like, switching mindset and, like, putting on that jersey and playing for my country.
When you do go into camp for Tonga, you know, what are those camps like?
They really just try, one, obviously, like, get the girls around and team bonding, but also, like, connecting with the culture and all that. For those that don't know, I'm actually really plastic.
Hey, like, we've got one. There's one rule here on Nijin Footy. There's no such word as a plastic, you know, Nijin or wherever you represent. There's no such thing as being plastic. You've got Tongan blood running through you. You're Tongan.
Yeah, so we usually do like a lot of, you know, like learning how to speak the language and like singing hymns and all that, just trying to, you know, connect with as a team and the culture, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
And not many people know, but Sally Mailangi is our first cousin, and she's played in the NRLW before, and more than likely will be playing for Tonga in the Pacific Championship. But what's that like for you? One, getting to represent, obviously, Tonga and your family, but actually playing with family.
Yeah, playing with family is a whole different thing, like, I love playing beside Sally. She's awesome on the field, and she knows like how to work off me and how to work together. It's just awesome playing with family. Like, it doesn't get any better than that.
And we've seen Tiana Penetani lead the Tongan team last year, and you're coming up against her this week in the NRLW Grand Final. What's that contest going to be like?
No friends on the field.
That's it.
That's the mentality. No friends on the field. Off the field, hug it out, you know, go back to how it was. But once the ref blows the whistle, no friends on the field.
Yeah, they all opt.
Yeah.
And you are playing the Sharks. You've played them this season already. Yeah, what are your thoughts leading into the big one, the big dance, this grand final? They were quite impressive last week, keeping the Brisbane Broncos to not scoring a point, first time ever. Yeah, what are you looking forward to, and who are you going to target? What are the tactics like leading into the grand final?
Yeah, well, obviously the first time we versus Sharks this season, we had a really dominant effect on them, and we came out with the win. But I feel like, obviously, it's grand final. They're going to throw everything they have like us. And I just think if we stick to our game plan and just be really dominant on defensively and attack, we hopefully should come with the win.
And who are some key players that you think you should mark or that will be, you know, targeted for use?
Oh, definitely Tiana Bendani. Like, she's just so smart attackingly. She's so strong as well. And she's just a very dangerous player. She will come out of anywhere and everywhere and really be dominant and take it out. Yeah.
Is that Anessa Biddle?
Yeah, Anessa Biddle as well is really dangerous on the edge. She obviously runs like a back, but she's got the strength as a middle. So yeah, she's got the whole package, yeah.
And then you've got Cassie Staples, the Fijian flying winger on the left there, who seems to score many tries. So a big game, big challenge ahead. And you know, I know that, you know, you get the prep right and you've taken the week off work. Should be well rested.
Good to go.
Go get the job done.
And just to touch on it briefly, Bunny, we know all the focus is on the Roosters and the grand final this weekend. But you've signed with the Bulldogs for the next couple seasons. What's that going to be like for you? Obviously, Blake's there. You've had Blakey at the Roosters before. Blake Cavallaro as a coach and mentor to you before. What are you looking forward to joining the Bulldogs?
Honestly, the fans. I feel like the fans is what makes the Bulldogs Bulldogs. Like, obviously, they carry so much, you know, love and support for their team. So I'm hoping that also they'll bring some support system through for the girls as well. And, like, also coming under Blake again, I've had great experience with Blake in my junior rep. So being able to be under his wing again, I'm excited for it.
Did Will, the Bulldog legend himself, have any influence on your decision to sign in with the Bulldogs, or was it more so Blake, the ex-coach?
It was both. I actually, when Blake first approached me, I messaged Will straight away and I was just like, is Bulldogs a good club? Because, like, you know, obviously you want a good environment around you when you're playing the sport, because then it brings the best version of yourself. And, you know, Will gave a good rap about how Doggies is a great club, and it, like, helped me feel comfortable with my decision moving over.
I want to talk about your footy dreams and also your work as well. When you went once, I know it's very early, but, you know, ex-retired, ex-players ourselves sitting here behind a mic, just giving it a crack and trying. Currently, what are you doing for work? And, you know, what are some of your footy dreams as well?
So for work right now, I just do warehousing. I'm like pickpacking orders all day long, and then I'll shoot off to training after. So my hours fit really well with my footy hours, so
that is why you take the week off. Perfect. Yeah. You know what? Yeah, you take the week off, and you make sure you take next Monday off, because I don't think you'll be working next Monday during the celebrations. Sorry, and your footy dreams.
Footy dreams. Well, I actually wanted to stop playing footy after high school, and then I just, you know, put on the boots one last time to play with my friends, and it took me 2-4 seasons in NRLW. So I feel like my dream is to obviously win a premiership, at least play World Cup for Tonga, and, yeah, just finish on a high. I feel like just little stuff like that.
Yeah, and then
completes the picture.
And just to let people know as well, some behind-the-scenes stuff of what, you know, not only Bunny, but athletes go through to chase their dream. Sometimes I'll be leaving home early in the morning, and because of Bunny's work schedule, there's a little gym at the front of Mum and Dad's house, and we live across the road. And so I'll be leaving to, you know, whether it's work or to somewhere, to the gym, wherever it is, and still dark, and Bunny's at the front doing her weights before she goes to work, so then she can do field after work. And so these are small little sacrifices that athletes make, that Bunny has made to be in the position that she is in today. And so nothing comes of luck.
Yeah.
It all takes hard work and
or
dedication.
A last name. You've earned every right to, you know, where you are now, and it's not your last name. Yeah, it's all the extras that you've been putting in.
All the extras, all those early mornings in the dark and, you know, the late nights, fitting it in around your schedule. So good luck this weekend, Bunny. We hope you do well, and on a personal note, hope you win.
Yeah, thank you.
Nah, all the best, Pani. It's been an absolute honour having another Hopuate member here, and also a NRLW grand finalist, and hopefully a premiership winner for the Roosters.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Bunny.
Shop, Bunny.
Nesian knowledge.
Yes, Nesian knowledge, where we end our Nesian Footy Mondays with a bit of competitive nature between us two, me and Sam. We'll ask each other three questions each week. We keep a score, and the loser has to get a Nijin footy tattoo on their bum at the end of the season. You have actually asked questions on behalf of me when I was missing to Sam, and Sam was quite successful them weeks. So I hope you remember that and give me three questions.
Is that the score now?
Three easy questions. Yeah, it's 18 to players, 14.5. I've been a bit lazy on my. I said one question a couple of weeks ago was, what was the chicken's name on the movie Moana?
I've forgotten.
The one that got stuck on the boat.
Yeah, yeah.
Sam knew that straight away. And because he watches it all the time with his kids.
That's what I mean.
The chicken's name was Hey Hey.
Hey Hey, that's it. So you got it straight away.
Well, you're right, brother. Give me three questions.
All right. Penrith obviously beat Cronulla. There were four tries the Penrith Panthers scored. Who scored the first three tries?
Of the four tries?
Of the four tries. Right. In order.
Okay, Nathan Cleary throws the cutout to Paul Alamotti. That's one. Second, Sunia Turuva, he got disallowed for his try. Hey! It was a crossfield kick to Brian To'o for two. And the third try. Oh, is that the four tries for Panthers? I'm not going Sione Katoa's one.
Yeah, for the Panthers, yeah. Right. First three tries for Bizza, the Panthers.
And then back to Paul Alamotti for the third.
Well done, T. He's on. He's on.
Fox, didn't you hear my review? I just ran through
Sammy,
all the
Sammy, you just slipped me a tenner, that's why.
Oh, I love it, Sammy.
All right, so in the Roosters final, we had Nijin player Terrell May who scored a try. How many tries does he have in season 2024?
Oh, that is a great question. Wow. How many tries does Terrell May have? I want to say six, but I don't think he went over five. So I want to say four, but then it could be less. I just can't picture. I'm going to say four.
Locking it in?
Your eyes. It's like, oh, yeah, lock it in four.
It was six.
Oh, it was six.
You had it too. Your first.
No, I just think thought. I didn't think it was going to be too much. I thought six would be too many because I remember when we were playing NRL, five was like the benchmark. If you could score more than five, you're the man. And following the Roosters all year, I'm like, surely I don't think he scored six or more than five.
Was pretty close. So yeah, six. Shout out to Terrell, mate. Well done.
Sorry, Terrell, I underestimated you, brother.
Okay, and last question, is it true or false? So after beating Fijiana last week, the Netherlands have also beaten the Samoan women's team in the WXV3 competition on the weekend. True or false?
Netherlands. So did you say Netherlands beat Tonga?
Beat Samoa.
Oh, mate. This is 50-50. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we watched the Samoan women's team beat the Australia A team and the girl that kicked the goal 40 metres out. But then again, Australia aren't even going that good. You know what? I'm going false. Samoa beat Netherlands.
It was false. It was head or draw.
Oh, what? 1 point.
Yeah, false. It's true or false. You said false. Also, plus, shout out to Fijiana who beat Hong Kong. China 38-3 to kick off their WXV3 campaign. And to Eva Karpani and Faitala Moleka, who both scored for the Wallaroos in their win over Wales in the WXV2 competition.
Well, Will, all right, that's it for Nijin Footy. Remember, you can catch up on all our chats with athletes like NRLW Sharks player Cassie Staples, who scored on the weekend to help the Sharks make their grand final, first grand final ever, and Xavier Coates and Ali Katoa, who will line up for the Storm in the men's grand final. Find all those chats and more wherever you get your podcasts. Good luck to all. Thank you, Will. Much love, brother. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks for having me, T.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.